Hello everyone, this is Tom Uren, and today I have a Risky Business News sponsored interview with Chris Long, who is the Director of Security at Material Security. So Chris, you were telling me that you've got some ideas about what a modern phishing remediation program might look like. And I guess my first question is, well, maybe these are three questions. What does it look like? How does it differ from a traditional, air quotes, remediation program, and what makes it better?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the most important, arguably the most important element in any phishing triage program is how you're handling your user reports, your employees reporting phishing emails to your security team. I think anyone who's been staffed as a security engineer or worked in a SOC has seen, yeah, there's a lot of false positives that get reported and users don't always get things right, but quite often you have some really sharp users who are better than any detection system that you could ever purchase with money. I've been part of teams where users have uncovered red team exercises or even extremely sophisticated attacks. And so I think that's kind of the primary thing that needs to be considered.
What sort of finding those super users or?
Absolutely. It is a bit of like a diamond in a rough scenario, ultimately those diamonds are worth their weight in gold.
Yeah. How many people do you think, is that like one in 50, one in 100? Like how big an organization do you need before you've got these super users that you should be looking for?
Yeah, what a great question. I think it's highly dependent on the organization. You know, are your users highly technical? Maybe you are part of a tech company, or maybe you're part of a manufacturing company. So I think it's always going to depend on the employee breakdown. But certainly, there are tech savvy folks embedded in any organization, and you know, I think they start to build up a reputation as being the really sharp ones and the people who are reporting things you want to pay a lot of attention to.
Okay, so one aspect you reckon is, I guess, prioritize perhaps the best of the brightest when it comes to phishing and just noticing weird things, or do you expect them to pick up stuff that your other strands aren't going to pick up at all?
Yeah, so what I would say there is at one point I sort of did a customer survey and talked to our customers about how they were using our product. And one thing that I heard repeated over and over, and what I had gone in expecting to hear was, we want you to just keep expanding your detections, keep finding more and more things for us. But one of the refrains from our customers were, hey, we get lots and lots of user reports every day, and some large percentage of them are actually just incorrect. It's either just spam or the email is completely legitimate and the user was just mistaken. Can you actually help us remove some of these user reported messages that are obviously legitimate out of our queue so we don't have to work on these and waste the time? And so actually one of the approaches that we're taking to this problem right now that's just ironically well suited to the problem given the timing is running large language models against these user reported cases.
Right.
So I would say using these large language models as just a general phishing detector, like throwing an arbitrary message in and having it try to classify whether it's phishing or not, it's not exceptional at. However, if you give it a message with a context that someone has reported it and they think there might be something suspicious about it, it's able to make a much, much more accurate judgment on and explain why it thinks that there are some unusual or suspicious things in the message, or it will tell you all the things of why it thinks the message is actually completely legitimate. And so we're trying to help reduce the workload on the triage folks' plate by leveraging these models.
Yeah, right. So does it just look at the email or do you go out and, I don't know what the right term is, click on links and see what the result of those links is and feed that to the model as well?
Yeah, so this is a completely opt-in feature right now. Right now it is just focused on the content of the email itself. We haven't wired it up to give it the ability to go out and visit links and do things because the behavior there might be like a little bit unpredictable. However, it is really good at just taking basically what ends up being like a raw.email file that we've just truncated down to the relevant bits. It's even phenomenal at doing things like header analysis and figuring out what SPF, DKIM, and DMARC mean. And it'll tell you if those things are not passing or just outline the things that it thinks are suspicious.
Wow, that's incredible. An actual, like, proven in the wild use case for those sorts of language models.
Yep, absolutely. So right now we're kind of in the final stages of running all of these sorts of examples through benchmarks and making sure it does perform at like a really high bar, because we don't want this thing to be misclassifying things. And so the way I imagine users interacting with this at first is basically you'll have a button that says, hey, like, what does the AI think about this message? And you can just get that as an extra piece of input. And if over time you determine, hey, the AI is right some very, very high percentage of the time, you'll just be able to say, hey, AI, be my first pass filter on user submitted reports.
Right. Yeah. I like that idea. That seems like a cool application. What else?
I think the other thing that you need to focus on is the different ways that you're able to detect and classify messages that are coming through. On one hand, you know, I think many email security products today, they sort of live in this space where they detect what they detect, and there's no insight into exactly what it is they're detecting, and you kind of get what you get. And so you don't have a good sense of what you might be missing. And so I think an element of any modern phishing program is that you need to have the ability to customize some of your own detections. There may be some new attacks that you have some threat intelligence about that you want to ensure that you're able to detect. But at the end of the day, I think you have to take this multi-pronged approach to phishing detection, which is you have your user reports. I think any competent organization is going to be taking a close look at those. You have your email security tools that help you detect messages that are malicious. And you have the ability, if you have the staff to support this, to create some of your own detections or your own rules to detect whether it's, you know, malware-based threats, phishing-based threats, or you're trying to detect your own information from leaving your organization. Having that ability to build some customization on top of your tooling is critically important.
So you've described three strands there. How do phishing programs change as the organization gets bigger?
One thing that I think inevitably becomes part of almost every either phishing triage program or security team program is phishing simulation. And so Material Security has the phishing simulation product. And I think there's been a lot of debate within the industry of how to correctly run a phishing exercise. I think everybody's kind of in agreement that we don't necessarily want to be victimizing the people that click the links in the emails or fail the exercise, quote unquote. But I do think that the outcome that everyone should be striving for is just making their users better at recognizing actual phishing emails. So at the end of the day, you just want to be leveling up the people who are going to be submitting you reports in the future. And so one of the really neat features in our phishing simulation product is you can actually take a real legitimate malicious message that was reported to users in the past, and you can actually just replay that message with all the links and attachments completely defanged across different users in your organization. So maybe originally it was sent to three users in your organization. You can go ahead and repackage that phishing email and send it out to, say, 100 users in your organization and see how they perform. And rather than coming up with some totally off-the-wall scenario, and there's quite often a lot of pushback around scenarios being too tricky or playing to people's heartstrings, you kind of have this defense of saying, well, this actually got delivered to our users at some point in time. We didn't come up with it.
Yep. I've often seen that dilemma expressed where, you know, someone malicious trying to fish can go to places that people will click on the link. Like, I guess, you know, in recent months, it could have been, you know, I'm sorry to say that your entire team's been let go.
Exactly.
From a email security point of view, what do you do about that, though? I mean, like, I just can't imagine that people are not going to click on those sorts of emails, no matter how much phishing training. It just hits people emotionally in a place where you'll get good success rate with that.
I absolutely agree. And I think that's why security teams need to be aware that phishing is effectively the front lines in any sort of adversary campaign. And so this is where other defense in depth starts to come into play, right? If a user does go ahead and click on this link, you need to be sure that their browsers are updated such that they're not vulnerable to any web-based exploits. And you need to be sure that you have very strong authentication in place and you have MFA so that if the user does go ahead and type their credentials into a phishing page, it's not game over for your organization, right? I like to think of if security is the front lines, ultimately, these attackers need to go through what is effectively a detection gauntlet, right? Maybe they've gone ahead and they've gotten a set of credentials from your user because they did successfully phish them. Well, now there's so many additional opportunities for detection. They will probably have to do something to get past MFA. And maybe that's MFA bombing and sending the user MFA requests over and over again. That's a great detection opportunity. And maybe that works and they get into the account. Well, now you have this likely anomalous login event from a strange, never seen before IP address. Yet another great potential for detection. And maybe they installed malware on the endpoint. Yet another potential for detection. So I really see phishing as just being the absolute tip of the spear here. And then just ensuring you have that defense in depth beyond that just ensures that your users remain secured, even if they do fail.
So Chris, you've described how the sort of way I'm thinking of it now is that not only is phishing the sort of entry point for an attacker, but it's also, in your words, the tip of the spear for a defender as well. It gives you something to grab onto that an attacker is doing that you can then, I guess, spider out as they try different things. So do you have other examples where that kind of building off just one single detection has worked for you?
Yeah, I might be a little bit biased here, but we have it's a data protection functionality in our product, and I thought this was a really interesting use case, which is, if you're not familiar with it, essentially any emails that get delivered to an inbox that contain sensitive content, things like PII, financial statements, things of that nature, we effectively secure that email content using a two-factor prompt. And we had a customer who actually came to us and said, one of our executives received a bunch of push notifications on their phone saying that someone was trying to unlock a message in their inbox, and it was not them, it was at 3 a.m. And it effectively turned these protected messages into canaries, because someone who was not the owner of the inbox was trying to actually view the contents of these messages. And that basically tipped them off and was the start of a big investigation for that company.
So is that what you would describe as the difference between, air quotes, modern phishing workflow as opposed to a traditional one?
I think I would just say relying on your users to not fall for phishing is not a winning strategy.
Chris Long from Material Security, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Tom.